Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
Through this message, in the time we have allotted left, we're in our series called Core. We're going through our core values and the vision of our church, as aforementioned by Roisin. Actually, you know what? I realize I haven't introduced myself, and we have visitors in the house. This is terrible. I'm the senior pastor here. My name is Nelly, and it's so good to have you all here with us. Kia ora. Every Nation Brisbane is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exists to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. This is our vision, mission statement for our church. We have four core values, and then we're going through these core values right now in a series. These are our four core values. We value worship, and this is what we talked about last week. Now, we talked about how in churchianity and in Christian circles, worship is often linked to music, but it's not just music. Worship is offering yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, as per Romans 12, verse 1. We also value discipleship, of which we will be talking about next week, right? Next week? The week after, sorry, goodness me. The week after, next week we have the Webs coming, that's right, and they'll be talking on family, and then the following week we'll have our campus service. We're really excited because our club realers are going to be taking our service, so it's going to be a campus takeover in 2 weeks. So make sure you get all the young people you know out to church because it's going to be outrageously awesome in the presence of God. And we value outreach, which is what we're going to talk about today. Outreach in the form of missions, outreach in the form of compassion, outreach in the form of evangelism. And then we value family. This is both our physical family as well as our spiritual family. We value family, and we will not sacrifice our families on the altar of ministry, because we believe that, you know, as per scripture, our families are our first congregations, or our family are our first responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean we idolize our families, but we live out our family, our physical family, in the context of spiritual family, which is exemplified in what we've just done with our baby dedications. Now, as we move on, I wanted to just focus, I wanted to just, by way of introduction, just talk about what we talked about last week, which was worship. But I focused upon the fact that worship, true worship, is exemplified from the secret place of your heart. You actually find what a person worships by what they hold a passion towards in the secret place. Unfortunately, many churches are filled with Academy Award winning Christians. You know what I mean by that? They are great actors, but they're not passionate when it comes to, you know, being in the presence of other Christians. They're Christians by name, or they're Christians by tradition because they grew up and their parents dragged them to church. But the moment that they could make a decision not to be there, their passions went elsewhere. But really, it's in the secrecy of our hearts. And you'll find that you don't have to be forced to do what you're really passionately worshiping. Everybody in this world is a worshiper. And so it's just a matter of what we worship. You can tell what a person worships, and we touched on this last week, by what a person sacrifices for, by what a person glorifies. By glorifying, I mean it takes the position of priority in your life. And then thirdly, you could tell what a person worships by what holds ultimate worth in their life. So what do you spend your money on? What do you spend a lot of your time on? And what do you passionately talk about? And we talked about, you know, how some people will talk about church out of obligation. Oh, yeah. How was church today? Okay. Yeah, it's fine. Yes, good. But you get that same person talking about One Direction or any team that's playing the Brisbane Broncos, you know. There's all of a sudden a passion that comes out. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, enjoying rugby or cricket or boy bands. Maybe there's, no, I won't go there. But you could tell what a person worships by what holds that ultimate position of passion in their heart, in the secret place of the heart. And so that's where we went with Matthew chapter 6. It says, but when you pray, we talked about prayer linking to worship. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, I'm going to do this gradual progression in talking about worship and the secret place and flow into outreach. And the image that I want us to kind of go through is looking at is the tree. Now, last week we talked about how the part of a building that you can't see, if we're talking about that which is unseen, is the foundation. Yet it's the most vital part of the building, because without the foundation, especially with Brisbane storms, you know, I was told before moving here, I remember, you know, meeting with Rebecca's dad, Pastor Ken, and he was telling me, oh, you know, you're going to love it here, 300 days of sunshine. He did not tell me what the 66 other days or 65 other days on a non-leap year were like. Because, you know, when it rains here, my goodness, hail, storms the size of big balloons, and, you know, just crazy, you know. So can you imagine gale force winds and hurricane type winds blowing through and you not having a foundation? I mean, our houses would be skating down the street. The M3 would have houses, you know, migrating down to Gold Coast. And so it's the importance of that which is unseen is what anchors us and or supplants us into the ground. And so it's the same with regards to a tree. Now, if we're talking about outreach, I want you to catch this, because fruit in Scripture, in John chapter 15, we don't have time to go through the whole chapter, but John chapter 15 talks about how fruit equals disciples. Fruit equals disciples. Actually, if you want to look at the whole New Testament, when fruit comes up, it's one of two things. It's either fruit being disciples or fruit being characteristics of God. Like, for instance, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 are the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're talking about a tree that bears fruit, what are the sort of characteristics that are shown in the character of God in Galatians 5? It says love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The next verse goes on to say, there is no law against these things, meaning that you can't love too much. There's no limit to love. That's enough. No. More. That's the way God flows. He, you know, just when you thought, okay, that's the end of God's love, he just lavishes you with even more. What about joy? You can't have enough joy. Some of us need to remind our faces that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, but you can't have too much joy. You just take more. Peace, patience, all of these things, there is no law. So that's the fruit that is born in terms of the character. Now, if we graduate to the next definition of what fruit is in the New Testament, it's disciples. Disciples who bear these characteristics. So when you're talking about fruit, obviously you're talking about a tree bearing these fruits. And the way that they bear these fruits is if the roots, that which is unseen, are firmly planted in secret worship lifestyle. Are you with me tonight? Because if the roots of your tree, if the foundation is deep, then the sky is the limit. Or for my Filipinos here, the sky is the langit in terms of how far you can grow. Because the depth of the foundation can hold a lot more. There is a direct correlation between the depth of your roots and the height of your growth, and the width of your growth, the breadth of your growth. So when we're talking about outreach, obviously it's the breadth of how far you can reach out as a tree. You never walk past a tree in an orchard. We've got some of the best oranges on the planet in this state, Queensland. God bless Queensland. But you've never gone to an orange orchard here in Queensland and heard an orange tree go, oh, I want fruit. Give me fruit. I've got to work harder. It just is an orange tree. It's just planted there. All it does is just stays where it's supposed to grow. Now, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be winds. There's going to be storms that come. And believe you me, when you are planted, if you're called to be a part of this spiritual family, Every Nation Brisbane, there's going to be storms coming your way. I guarantee there'll be some opportunities for you to be offended. Probably some of you have had three already with me talking, right now, and that's okay. But adversity will come your way, but if you are firmly planted where God sees fit to plant you, nothing can rock you. Nothing can rock you, because you're right where you need to be. And so the deeper, let me just say this, most people that grow in maturity are just those ones who stick around and stick through adversity, just saying, you know what, God, right now I feel like nobody loves me in this church, but I'm where you call me to be, so I'll just follow you, Jesus. Most of the time, it's just sticking where God's called you to be. There's far too many tumbleweeds blowing through churches. Y'all know what I talk about when tumbleweeds just blow into the church, and the pastor preaches a sermon that offends them, or they don't like the color of the carpet, or they don't play their musical style when it's worship. You know, I like the organ hymns, thank you very much. And now there's nothing wrong with the organ hymns, but believe you me, you go where the organ hymns are, you're going to get another reason to get offended. And you just blow into the next church. No foundation, no structure, because you're not planted. You're not planted. It's in the planting that you effectively reach out. Now, some of you may think, well, Nelly, you're supposed to talk about outreach. You're supposed to inspire us to reach out. Let me tell you, the best way to effectively reach out is to reach down. Because the deeper you go in God, the more natural it becomes to reach out. Because the deeper you go, the more your heart beats for the lost. The more that your heart will begin to focus on those who don't know Jesus. Otherwise, you see it as some ritual or some empty process, some flow diagram that has no heart. Oh, okay, Pastor Nelly told me I need to reach out to the lost. I will go and reach the lost. Will you follow Jesus? Follow him now. Step one, follow him now. Okay, rejected. Step two, invite him on Wednesday next week to come again. Okay. So see, it's void of any heart. It's void of the love of Christ, because it's so robotic, it's so processed. But the nutrients, for what you need to love that person into the kingdom of God are found in the secret place, are found in the hidden place. And so, you know, a lot of us are looking for the next strategy when we should be looking at how we can deepen our life of prayer and asking God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Lord, don't let me live another day, another week of the selfism that unfortunately so many churches have fallen into the trap of, where it becomes more me-focused than what God can do for me, rather than how can I serve God by going deeper in you and find your heartbeat for how this nation and how the nations are so desperate in their need for you and in their need for Jesus and what he offers through the cross. That's where outreach becomes effective. Is the deeper we go, the more naturally we will bear fruit in evangelism. I know it's like a total dichotomy, because some would say, okay, you need to get where the lost are. And that's true. But unless the strategy is propelled with the heart of God, there's no point to your strategy. Your strategy just becomes a tragedy. Because you go out there and misrepresent God, thinking just because you can go through a process or use an evangelistic tool, but you don't have a love for them, and then the way you pray for them, Lord, bring them into the, make them miserable until they come to know you. Yeah. Who wants to follow a God like yours if he makes your face look like you've been sucking lemons since Tuesday? Like, really? So if we could think with regards to this, and now I wanted to go to this passage here, and this is where I'll close. See, I told you we'll get out on time. Matthew chapter 7. I'm actually going to go through these three parts that are actually separated in most Bibles. If you go to Matthew 7, go to your Bible. You're looking at me like you don't trust me. Go to your Bible then. Go to your app. Close Candy Crush and go to your app. Close it now. Okay? No one's going to give you a life. Just close it now. Go to Bible, YouVersion, download it. Matthew chapter 7. Now there's these three parts at the end of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is where a sermon, probably Jesus' most popular sermon in Scripture, that flows from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7. Later on this year, we'll be doing a series going through this whole Sermon on the Mount. I'm excited about that. But this is the latter part of, this is the last part of this sermon. And he's talking about these trees with fruit. Now, there's a direct correlation in all three of these headings, because there's these trees with fruit, and then the next part talks about these guys who call God Lord, but don't know who he is. And then the last part is wise man who built his house upon the rock. That's the end. Okay, but when you read the Bible and you see those subheadings, you often read them separately, but that's actually a flow to Jesus' train of thought when he teaches this. Now, watch this. He says, you will recognize, everybody say recognize. You will recognize, meaning you will know what they look like. You will know them by their fruits, okay? You will know what a Christian looks like because they look different. They look different. They're in the world. They're engaging in the world that God's put them in, but there's a difference. There's something different about them. It's actually a compliment when somebody says to you, you're different, okay? Not different in a religious way or a snooty look down your nose way, but different in the sense of, why do you love me unconditionally even though I don't turn up, even though I keep rejecting you, you keep loving me and keep showing up, and keep giving me, giving to me in my time of need. Why do you keep praying for me? That's different. You will recognize them by their fruit. Watch this. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? I always get tongue twisted on figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor a diseased tree bear good fruit. Or even on a practical level, you don't go to a banana tree and expect oranges, right? So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You will recognize them by their fruits. There's a knowing that a person is planted in the will of God because they have to be bearing fruit. You remember there's a time when Jesus actually cursed a fig tree and it withered and died because it was not bearing fruit. Now the plumage, that's my word for the weekend, the plumage meaning the leaf capacity was large, but there was no fruit on the plumage. And so Jesus cursed it because it was all plumage. This is a problem. There's a lot of Christians just plumage but no fruit. Or plumage, no plums. Is your word for the week, plumage. That's the issue. In a lot of churches, it's a lot of dressing up the jargon that we use. The look at me as I put this in the offering. Shanda. The Christianity that says, look at me in my holiness, my righteousness. But that's acting like a good tree, but the seed has been bad. The problem is you need to die to yourself and let God sow the new seed of his word, new creation, or a new tree in God, okay? Are you with me, though? Are you with what I'm trying to say? See, because you'll only bear fruit if you're of the right seed and being sown deeply in what God has called you to become. Then that's when you bear fruit. And again, you don't strain to bear fruit. You just get in an environment where you will grow. John 15 describes that environment. He says, if you want to bear more fruit, you will be pruned. You will be cut. And if you don't want to bear more fruit, you'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. Either way, you're going to get cut. Hi, welcome to Every Nation Brisbane, where we cut. It's either you get pruned or you get cut off. Whatever church you go to, you can go to a mega church where they have all the production and you'll get cut if they're really preaching the Bible. Or you can come to a smaller church that's more traditional and if they're preaching the Bible, you'll get cut. But that's how you grow, because you're cutting off and you're pruning off parts that aren't bearing fruit so that other plumage can come forth and then the fruit will be born out of that natural flow. Are you with me? Okay, let's move on. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. / recognize you. I don't recognize you. There's not that recognition, because Everything is based on knowing him, the depth of relationship. Philippians 3 talks about how Paul is writing. He talks about how he has the equivalent of two, some scholars say three PhDs in terms of his studies as both a Pharisee and a Roman citizen. And yet he has borne some of the worst forms of persecution, physical persecution, isolation, and some of the worst prisons around the Mediterranean. And he says, I've experienced all of these great things, and I've experienced all of these hardships, and I can say I'm still alive. And, you know, as grateful as I am for those experiences and God bringing me through all that, I count them all rubbish, but to know God. Now, the word in the Greek is a lot more harsh than rubbish, but I'm going to leave it at that. You can study the Greek. But that's how terrible he looks at it. All his accolades, his ability to preach, his former Pharisaic nature, meaning that he memorized the whole Torah. He knows the first five books of the Bible inside out, back to front. He knew it all. But he counts that all rubbish, but to know God. And therefore, he presses on towards the prize. He forgets what is behind. And he presses on towards the prize for which has been marked out for him heavenward. See, there's a power of knowing him. And in the depth of your knowing him, you will naturally reach out. You know, there's this misnomer that, you know, you get around people and for some reason, there's this misnomer that's there's like two camps. There's a presence camp and there's a purpose camp. The purpose camp are purpose driven. They're all after go, go, go. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And then the presence camp is all like, let's stay here and kumbaya and just stay here around this holy campfire and never leave your. We don't want. And they limit God's presence to just being in that location all the time. But if you really get in God's presence, if you really get in deep worship, the deeper you go, the more you begin to hear his heartbeat. And it sounds like this. The closer you get to it, other people, other people, other people, lost people, lost people, lost people. Oh no, I just want to stay in your presence. Lost people, lost people, lost people. It gets louder and louder, and God begins to break your heart. The deeper you go in worship, the more he breaks your heart for the lost, for the broken, for those who are involved in trafficking, for those who are the poorest of the poor in the urban slums of Southeast Asia and Africa. For even the homeless in our city, God breaks your heart for them. God breaks your heart for the leaders on the campuses who don't know Christ but are about to head towards leading nations, but they don't know him. God breaks your heart for them. God breaks your heart for the future sports leaders, the future leaders of businesses, the future leaders of government, that they will know Christ. Because without the knowledge of Christ, they will pervert their purpose. God breaks your heart for them. You don't like this sort of Christianity? This is the only Christianity that there is, really, because that's why Jesus went so far as to lay his life down that we would know him. That's how important knowing him is. But the more you know him, the more you'll hear his heartbeat. And that's a dangerous place to be, but it's an awesome place to be if you're up for the adventure. Because to be honest with you, there's this false gospel going around saying that God exists for your benefit. To give you a nice car, nice house, nice spouse, white picket fence, 65, retire, get a watch, and die. Thank you, Jesus. There's a lot more to this life than this. If you read all through Scripture, this life is not my own. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. I am crucified with Christ, Paul says. There is no gospel that I preach but other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the message that Australia needs. If you want to reach out, you better be ready with this message. We're not going to water it down and try to tell you that God has the latest Mercedes for you. He may have it, but he's going to use that Mercedes for his glory. You better be ready to drive that Mercedes down to the poorest. And with the hubcaps getting stolen, who cares? You go down there and you reach the poor with that Mercedes if God blesses you with it, or you sell it and give your money to the poor. I don't know. Well, God will bless you, but he blesses you to be a blessing. There's so many people that will preach this false gospel of there's a blessing with your name on it. There's a blessing with your name on it. There is a blessing with your name on it. But it's hidden in the wrapping of there's a need with your name on it. And until you unwrap the need with your name on it, you'll see the blessing underneath. That's the gospel. That's outreach. With the heart of God, the deeper you go, this is the crux of what I'm saying. I'm shutting it down now. The deeper you go in God, the more you'll discover his heart beats for lost people. All you have to do is remember you were lost too. Remember, just take a moment right now. Just take about 20 seconds and just remind yourself of just how awesome you were the day before God found you. Yeah, see, half of you laughed. The rest of you were too ashamed to laugh. But yeah, there is comedy in that. Because all of us, every single one of us, especially me with the microphone, have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But by his grace, he rescued us. But he rescues us to this life of adventure where we live for other people, other people, other people, other people, other people. Are you ready for it? Some of us in this room would claim to be Christian, but we're miserable because our lives have been focused on ourselves. It is for a seed to die in the ground before it can grow. Your word for today is plumage. God wants to bring that plumage your way, but you're going to have to go deeper. You're going to have to be ready to stretch out your branches and reach out. And the more you stretch, the more God's going to prune you so you can bear more fruit and grow in that ability. I'm here to prophesy and tell you today this is going to be the most fruitful year of evangelism and outreach ever. And you know the way it's going to happen? You're just going to get around lost people because you just live out your life just led by the Spirit, and you just happen to have a conversation. Just you're going to use this phrase a lot. Just so happened. I just so happened to be in Starbucks, and I just so happened to be in this conversation where he just so happened to be going through a divorce, and I just so happened to pray for him, and he just so happened to get saved. Just get ready for the just so happen. Because, you know, God, the way God leads you in your adventure, you're Acts 29. God's lining your life up to be an extension of what God has in the Gospels. Because far too many Christians just see that, you know, they look at the Bible and say, wow, that was awesome for them. But I'm going to play it safe. C.S. Lewis said it. Our God is good, but he's not safe. Are you up for the adventure of reaching out and reaching the city? Because God, in and through us, is getting us, calling us to roll our sleeves up, get our hands dirty. Well, I don't know how long I'll be in prison. Well, if he moves you on, get ready to roll your sleeves up wherever he is, you know, wherever he moves you. Because that's God's heart. I just lastly wanted to say this. Some of us in this room may have been striving for outreach, and I believe God is bringing you to a state of rest in him, where you rest in this place and learn to go deeper in his heart and then let your evangelism flow naturally rather than just being so robotic about it. Remember, it's by his grace that he draws men to repentance. It's not by your effort, not by your ability to follow a flowchart. It's by his grace. Just show up and let him speak through you. Amen? Stand your feet, we're going to pray.
Hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.